Atlantic to the Pacific, from the French Broad to the Swannanoa, from Pisgah to Mitchell, and everywhere in between, we are beaming wattage high and low, near and far, aft and fore. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I am Sam the Animal Steel, your host this evening. Joined in the studio by a very special guest as we kick off hour two, my dad, the doc, Dr. Dave Steele, who is also Joshua P. Warren's teacher.
For one course at UNCA many, many moons ago.
So you could actually say that you were probably the catalyst.
I had the influence to just get him started.
Push him in the right direction.
Without me, he would have just floundered in the homeless list, probably.
The blue torch paper, which ignited.
I was the blue torch paper to Joshua P. with a not period.
No period after
no
the
period.
P.
No, I don't think he emphasized that when he was my student.
I don't know what it actually stands for.
I'm not sure if he signed his papers Joshua P. Warren or
yeah,
not.
It's like, you know, James Tiberius Kirk, James T. Kirk.
Or James T. Kirk,
Joshua
yeah.
P. Warren. Maybe it's like pernicious.
I don't know. Oh, you don't know what it stands for?
I don't.
I don't either.
I'm sure that some of the listeners do, some of the hardcore listeners.
Yeah, if you know what P stands for in Joshua's name, please let us know.
Yeah, well, it's something I don't know. Tonight we are talking about Stephen Hawking, who passed away, appropriately enough, on Pi Day. Not like Pi with an E, Pi as in a 3.1.
No, one time Harris Teeter had pies on sale on Pi Day.
That makes sense.
I didn't go this year to Harris Teeter, but I think last year they had them really cheap.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah.
Harris right. Teeter, next year, Pi Day.
Yeah, I was...
Get on it.
I don't know.
I think it's a better fake holiday than May the 4th be with you.
Pi Day is much better.
That's stupid.
Man. Yeah, and you have to... let's see, 3.14159, so at 159, it would give you the next few digits of pi.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. And there you have it, folks. We're going to take a break now. just kidding.
I was going to sing that song. Right here. Right now.
Oh, were you?
Right here. Right now.
For the rest of the show, Dad, I'm going to need you, whenever you do a Stephen Hawking quote, I'm going to need you to read it in his voice.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I can do
I'm
that.
Just kidding. We're not going to actually do that. But we were talking about, right at the end of the last hour, we're talking about Hawking's views on religion. What happens to us after we die. He had some other, regardless of whether or not you believed everything the guy said, give credit where credit's due. He was an incredibly smart guy. I didn't know him, but, sometimes really smart people kind of, think they know everything because they're incredibly smart, Like, if you were in the 1% of the 1% of smart people in the world, maybe you would have an inflated self-view of knowledge as well.
Yeah, it would be pretty tough, I think, to not have that.
Because I'm okay smart, and I think that I'm smarter than just about everybody. I'm like, you idiots.
Yeah.
But I know when to, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when you're not smart enough to continue. And I'm not going to jump in on a conversation.
Your money while you were sitting at the
yeah,
table.
Yeah, there you go. Don't get me started on my Kenny Rogers story. But, if you were to start a conversation about, the correlation of the random walk, I'll give you the head nod in that direction. And, I'm not going to jump in like I know what I'm talking
about. See, my problem is I haven't gone into depth in too many of the things that I've been interested in. I kind of scratch the surface. I kind of dabble. I nibble at the buffet of knowledge, so to speak.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'm not deep in too many things. And even the things that I'm somewhat deep in, I'm not that deep. So,
Greek. You like Greek?
Well, I like Greek, and I actually can read some of the New Testament Greek. I was trying to read Euclid's Elements in Greek, which is kind of interesting because there are so many words in Greek that we get our mathematical terms from, which is really fascinating.
Greek roots, Latin roots.
Trigonome or something like I can't think of any words now.
Recall your flashcards.
My flashcards, yes. Well, okay, this is interesting because speaking of Stephen Hawking and God, the Greek philosophy of the substance behind the universe involved the Greek word logos, Elo, which we transliterate Elogos. And that was their concept of rationality or basis for all reality.
Which would be logic?
Well, from what you get logic in those words. But what's interesting is in the Bible in John 1:1, John says, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ being the Logos. So he was actually trying to tie the person of Christ in the first century A.D. to what the Greeks had believed for centuries before that. I thought that was
pretty
interesting.
How can he be the Logos if he's the Alpha and the Omega, also Greek, for the beginning and the end?
Well, see, he's all that.
He's all that. And a bag of chips. And a bag of chips. So,
but there was a quote you read that I wanted to comment on. I know we don't have to stand this.
No, go for it.
It was Stephen Hawking, spontaneous creation.
No, don't. Oh,
okay,
really
no,
do
I
it,
won't
no.
do that. You read this quote a little while ago before in the last hour. You said spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists? Why we exist? So that was a quote from Hawking's book. The Grand Design. Now, what strikes me is spontaneous creation. On the surface, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, but I mean, you yourself just said that you nibble.
I do
at
nibble
at the buffet.
Yes.
You didn't dive deep.
But what does spontaneous creation even mean? That something can pop out of nothing with no cause?
Well, these are not concepts that are easily explained nor theorized. I mean, like,
And the interesting thing, he calls the book The Grand Design. Wait a minute, I didn't think there was a designer. I thought everything came about through random processes. How could there be design? We don't have to keep pushing.
No,
this.
We can push it, but I mean, even though he might not believe that there was a God or a creator, quote, in so many words, I do think that he believed that there was meaning, you know, in the universe and in life. And here's a quote. He says, quote, remember to look up at the stars and not down at your feet. Try to make sense of what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist, when he was speaking of the meaning of life. Be curious, and however difficult life may seem, there is always something you can do and succeed at.
Yeah, those are good thoughts, for sure.
And again, going back to, you know, like, just keeping in his state of degeneration, keeping a positive outlook and stuff of that nature.
That was something we should all strive for when we go into, you know, through difficulties.
Oh, I see a post on the website, The Christian Post, where Franklin Graham responds to the death of atheist Stephen Hawking.
Well,
theoretical physicist.
But he claims to be an atheist.
No, I get it.
One quote that I read.
Let's see what Franklin Graham had to say.
Let's see. Well, I don't have that quote in front of me, but. Go ahead.
I'm looking for it.
I saw it earlier, but I don't have it from me now.
He says that he wished he had the chance to discuss God. See, already I'm like, I'm turned off. Because I'm like, who are you, Franklin Graham, to think that like you're going to change? He's like on Stephen Hawking's deathbed. Like, I wish I would have had a chance to discuss. You don't think he had the opportunity to study the Lord? Like, you're going to change his mind? That just kind of, anyway. Quote, he says, I wish I could have asked Mr. Hawking who he thought designed the human brain. The designers at HP, Apple, Dell, or Lenovo have developed amazing computers, but none can come even close to the amazing capabilities of the human mind. Who do you think designed the human brain? The master designer? God himself, Franklin Graham wrote. I wish Stephen Hawking could have seen the simple truth that God is the creator of the universe he loved to study and everything in it. Then he quoted Nehemiah 9:6, which says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that's on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you, with a capital Y. But I to me, that just, it seems a little self-serving to think that, like, you're going to save. That's the thing
Well, I don't necessarily think he was saying that he could bring Stephen Hawking to some new sense of realization. I think it would be very interesting to see what does he mean by some of these things, where he talks about existence and design without having
I hear that coming out of your mouth, like you might have been interested.
Yeah. So you don't,
I don't
think,
see
the,
Franklin
think he
Graham
might have had a different agenda.
I don't see him being interested in much of like piquing his mind on, you know, you know, I'm all about, you know, I don't believe the exact same as you, but I don't diss your beliefs.
No, I appreciate that, Sam.
You know, I'm all for everybody having their own beliefs, you know, because...
But you're just kind of reading into what you think you meant by that.
I am a little bit, perhaps, because I'm not particularly... I liked his dad.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Billy was much more charismatic than Franklin, and I'll just leave it at that. So, you know.
You mean Billy Dead was more charismatic than Franklin?
Too soon.
All right, so let's talk about switch gears here.
Switch gears.
So, you know, he has left Earth now. You know, the reality is, we will all, the one thing that everybody on Earth has in common, we all poop and we all will die.
That's true.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yeah.
And now he is no longer on this Earth, and I kind of, you know, in a way, envy him a little bit, because you heard that quote he had said about suicide. You know, if you're in pain, why, like, we put animals down, why people should have a choice. I do believe that as well. But, you know, now he doesn't, I fear every day, I try not to let it get to me, but I fear, like, you know, some horrendous thing happening. You know, yeah, like we're just like one cough away from somebody getting off a plane from the Asia, from bleeding out our butts.
Some worldwide epidemic.
Totally. Totally. And if we knew how close we were, we would all have hemorrhages and die anyway.
Yeah, I love those movies that had, like, there was one on the other night, Contagion, I think, was just about the spread of a disease from, you know, patient zero and so on.
But do you think,
fascinating.
Do you think that that's too far from the truth?
No, I think that's very possible.
I totally do.
Of course, the question is whether these things are being manufactured by agents wanting to use them as weapons or not.
Oh, well, why else would they be made?
I don't know.
And, I mean, where else would
versus
they be?
Versus just, you know, regular mutation of existing...
You mean evolution?
Don't get me started, Sam.
I'm just saying.
Listen, there's mutation and there's mutation. All right. The mutation suggested by evolution never changes things from one species to another. It enhances maybe characteristics that are already there.
I'm just saying.
Most mutations are not beneficial to the organism.
Okay. Yeah. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. We're delving into Stephen Hawking, his life, his passing, some quotes he said, and going down those paths, seeing where they take us. It's where the unusual becomes usual. It's brought to you by MND Paranormal. You can find them in Marion, North Carolina, and on Facebook, and go to speakingofstrange.com for more info. We'll be right back after this on News Radio 570 WWNC.
Does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle Man. Triangle Man, Triangle Man. Triangle Man hates Particle Man. They have a fight. Triangle wins. Triangle Man. Universe Man, Universe Man. Size of the entire universe, man. Usually kind to smaller man. Universe man. He's got a watch with a minute hand. Millennium hand and a crown hand. And when they meet, it's a happy land. Powerful man. Universe man. Person man. Person man. Hit on the head with a frying pan. Lives his life in a garbage can. Person man. Is he depressed or is he a man? Does he feel totally worthless? Who came up with person man? Degraded man, person man. Triangle man, triangle man. Triangle man hates person man. They have a fight, triangle wins, triangle man.
Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. Check them out online at, well, HauntedAsheville.com. That was They Might Be Giants and Particle Man, kind of fitting in, I think, kind of well, with the overall theme tonight of Stephen Hawking, who the universe lost this week. I am Sam, the Animal Steel, joined tonight by Padre. Padre Father Steel, my dad.
Not as in priest.
Not Father. Anymore. Not anymore, but we won't go into that. The disclosure agreements and such. But so where were we at? Okay. So at the end of the last break, we were talking about leaving the Earth, leaving this mortal coil.
Yeah, shuffling off.
And, you know, some things that Hawking had said. Now, one of the things that I don't get, since we've been talking about religion tying into this, is conservatives, especially conservative Christians, and the not so much caring about the environment or environmental issues, when it would seem like they would be at the top of the list for, you know, this is, we are supposed to be the caretakers.
That's right.
Of God's earth, right?
Yeah, so I totally agree that when you look back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, it talks about God leaving mankind, humankind, to care for the earth. And so I think that is one of our responsibilities. But the problem with the current environmental movement, I think, is it's become way too political. So you really are very suspicious of the agendas of some of these things because of that. That doesn't say we shouldn't care for things and, you know, use things conservatively.
Does it not also mean that, like, you don't have to buy into that? Because, like, if you remember back in, like, the 70s, I'm thinking Richard Nixon era, there was no partisan politics when it came to environmental issues. You know, Democrats and Republicans, they realize, you know, they would make something because it, you know, I've said this before, I would like to start my own political party, the Radical Rationalist movement, which is,
how does that be different from libertarians, for example?
My only selling point is, I'm not a political guy, is it rational? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, for instance, we are almost at day zero in South Africa, Cape Town, running out of water.
Right.
That's a reality. The people in Cape Town now are getting to that point where, after years and years of it being them being told, if we don't conserve water, we're going to have a serious issue. We're going to run out. Now it's a couple days away. They're like, oh, crap. We don't have any water.
But, and I don't know how true this is, but
go ahead. Okay. But, I mean, what you were saying about...
I was going to comment on that.
Go for it.
No, what I've also heard is that apparently the Israelis have a process for desalinization that they've offered to Africans, and because of the African racism against Jewish people and white people.
Well, now you're going down a very...
Well, I know, but I'm saying there's more to the story.
There's always more to the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, without invoking Zionism or anything of that nature.
I was invoking anti-Zionism.
Okay, well, regardless, I'm just saying that, like, bringing it back to environmental issues, why does it – okay, maybe there is a – or a perceived lean of one way or the other, but there's still facts. You know, there's like, okay, if we don't – global warming. I don't understand why people don't. You know, they're like, there is no such thing as global warming. It's hot. I mean, it's hot right now in February, March, you know, or whatever. And it's like, man, like, you're not a scientist. Like, I'm not a scientist. I'm going to always side with the guy who's got who's devoted his entire life to studying the environment than me, who is a, 16th year sophomore, you know, still have red shirt eligibility if I wanted to play in the big dance. If it wasn't for these damn knees, I'd be playing for Coach K. No, but I mean, like, so here's what Hawking, to get back.
Go ahead.
You know, he was very troubled about what he could call putting all your eggs in one basket.
I saw that someplace.
Being Earth.
Yeah.
Okay, and so for many decades before his passing this past week, he had been calling for humans to begin the process of permanently settling other planets. Now, his rationale behind this was that humankind would eventually fall victim to an extinction-level catastrophe, and probably sooner rather than later. But when you're working on a long enough timeline, you know, you know, soon in the grand cosmic scheme
maybe
of things.
50,000 years.
Well, it could be, you know, even 100 years is really soon. You know, we'll be long gone. I'll be glad to be gone. I don't understand why people are always like, oh, I wish I could live forever. Oh, dear God, no. Take me away. Calgon, take me away. I don't need to be 100. I'll tell you that. But, you know, what worried him was the so-called low probability but high impact events, like an asteroid that, you know, have you ever thought about that? Just like how we're getting flung through the universe.
Wasn't there something recently that we had a near miss?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought.
I'll look that up here in a sec. You know, but like how many things, you know, just even space debris that we've put up there, and now we're polluting. You know, we've polluted all the oceans. We've polluted everything. Now we're just polluting space as well with, like, space debris.
Was it this past week I heard some, was it a Soviet or China space station that was coming back into the atmosphere and they thought it would hit Michigan or something? Do you know anything about it? I just heard a little bit about that, but I don't know if that's actually
was
true
that
or
this,
not.
This past week?
I think it was just this past week that they said that they warned about that, but I don't know when it was supposed to actually enter the atmosphere.
I'll see. I spelled that wrong. In the news. It was was it the Chinese?
I think it was Chinese.
Tiangong 1.
Probably, that was
it. The Tiangong 1 space station will crash to Earth within weeks. Experts say it's impossible to plot where the module will re-enter the atmosphere, but the chance is higher in parts of Europe, U.S., Australia, and New Zealand. Well, that's
I
really covering
why I
your
heard
bases.
Michigan. Maybe it was a joke that they thought, okay, it let in Detroit and not do any damage. You know, I don't know.
Oh, that's not very nice.
I know
for
it's
our
not nice,
Detroit.
Is it? I know,
but it's 8.5 tons. That
would be huge.
Yeah, that would leave a mark. But anyway,
that's going to leave a mark.
That's going to leave a mark. But you know, if like a large asteroid struck our planet, that's a classic example. But he was talking about a host of other threats. One of them. You know, in addition to being climate change, viruses, which we barely touched on, which are terrifying, you know.
Right.
Like, seriously, I think that there's certain things that we don't need to know everything about. And there's some people that do know what's really going on, and the wool is being pulled over our eyes. And I think that's fine on a couple of things, because if we knew how close we were every day to impending death.
Yeah, that's right.
We would – the fact that the world operates as – somewhat efficiently as it does.
Crossing the street.
I think what you're trying to say is you take a risk getting up in the morning,
crossing the street, or
sticking
your
face
in
a
fan. Please, squad. Sorry.
But artificial intelligence was also one of the things. But he, we'll get to that in a sec. But this was just last year. He told the BBC that he said, although the chance of a disaster to planet Earth in a given year might be quite low, it adds up over time and becomes a near certainty in the next 1,000 or 10,000 years.
Hmm.
He was confident that humans would spread out into the cosmos by that time, but said, quote, we will not establish self-sustaining colonies in space for at least the next 100 years, so we have to be very careful in this period. That sounds
Wasn't
a lot.
That what Elon Musk is trying to do?
Very good. Yes, it dovetails with Elon Musk. Who in 2013 told a conference, quote, either we spread Earth to other planets or we risk going extinct. An extinction event is inevitable, and we're increasingly doing ourselves in.
Hmm.
You know.
But it seems like we would have to build sort of contained environmental structures to provide the Earth-like atmosphere.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you think about right now Elon Musk's Tesla is flying around the universe somewhere.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that kind of weird, you know?
Are we going to use that for like a rover or something on a planet?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what the end game is there. But it's kind of weird that he just shot that thing up into space and it missed its mark. You can actually go online and follow where it's at.
Oh, I did. Yeah, well, that's right.
Flying around out in space right now. That's pretty amazing, you know? I don't know what he's going to use.
Is it driverless?
Probably.
Probably. Well, then it's out.
There could be a Soviet chimp in there. I don't know. Yuri Gagarin, is he still alive?
I doubt it.
I don't think so. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by M&D Paranormal, right here on News Radio 570 WWNC. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Joshua P. Warren speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. You can also pick up old episodes of podcasted versions of such at joshuapwarren.com. Speakingofstrange.com, the hub of all things Warrenism, which could be its religion in its own right, I suppose. He's got a pretty big market share covered there. And also brought to you by M&D Paranormal. Those guys out in Marion, been on the show, cool dudes. Check them out. Thank you for hanging out with us on the show. Also hanging out with me tonight, my dad, Dr. Dave Steele.
How you doing?
How you doing? And we're talking about, well, we're talking about anything, really.
Yeah, but whatever comes to mind.
Whatever comes to mind, but kind of loosely based around the passing of Stephen Hawking. I was never, you know, like, I'm not going to say, oh, I was a scholar, a Hawking scholar. But he was definitely somebody that piqued my interest and curiosity. I find people that, you know, ask those questions or who devote their lives to coming up with answers to those questions to be really interesting, you know.
They are.
So many people go through life just, and I'm guilty of this a lot of the time too, like just cruising, coasting. Sometimes it's easier to not ask the questions.
Well, we have a limited amount of time to do what we need to do every day.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
but I mean,
you got all these new TV programs you get.
I know, so much TV. People got all mad at me. They're like, "What do you mean you don't watch Game of Thrones?" I'm like, "I watch 21 hours of TV a day. Like, I can't fit it all in." You know?
Yeah, I know. I keep telling you about shows. Oh, you should watch this or you watch that.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Yeah,
not
great,
Mr. Roboto.
Close. No, Mr. Robot, Rami Malek.
Rami Malek going to be playing Freddie Mercury.
And is that movie back on?
It Queen? Is back on. Still scheduled for release Christmas Day.
Was that the problem of one of the production companies going to bankruptcy or something?
No, it was the director of the film had some sort of breakdown slash, he got whacked out on drugs again. So became very erratic.
But it's back on?
Yeah, they got a new director. It might have been pushed. They were shooting for Christmas Day 2018.
Okay.
It was called, was it Bohemian Rhapsody? Or it was basically the story of Queen and Freddie Mercury, Rami Malek.
I can see Rami Malek playing Freddie Mercury.
I'll show you some pictures. There was a couple pictures that got leaked from the set. He was, and there was a video that somebody posted where they were recreating the Queen Wembley Stadium gig back in 85.
I'm not familiar with that, yeah.
I believe it was the Live Aid or the Africa, like the Bob Geldof. Anyway, it was a huge, huge, you know, like something like 100,000+ people there. Very famous footage of Queen, and Rami Malek comes. They recreated it, you know, and he comes pouncing out as Freddie Mercury, just killing it.
Yeah, cool.
Good stuff. We were talking about
artificial
intelligence at some point. Well, actually, we were talking about
lots of things.
The end of the world as we know it, Elon Musk. But ultimately, I wanted to get to the rise of the machines.
Oh, yeah.
Hawking did recognize that with great opportunities that arose from the advances in artificial intelligence, that there could also be great dangers. And this is, you know, mind you, you know, in a way, he was direct, you know, he was benefiting directly from early forms of artificial intelligence.
Right, in his own technology.
Yeah. But me and my cousin, when we were recently on a trip, we got into this very deep discussion. He doesn't believe that there is there's no such thing as artificial intelligence.
Oh.
And I'm like,
well, I mean, it would, you have to kind of define what you mean by it. I'm not sure what the definition would
be
myself.
Is Alexa, you know, artificial intelligence? Is Siri artificial intelligence?
Well, if it's a complicated enough program and it can appear intelligent, but is it? But so it's artificial. So,
well, I did hear something this week about. I mean, I would say that you know, artificial intelligence is it learning? You know, can it? And so, did you hear about this week, Alexa laughing?
Oh yeah, and people were wondering if it's actually in learning something from them.
Now you guys got me an Alexa for Christmas.
And are you still using it?
I have it plugged in. I have it turned on to mute all the time. It's probably still not muted, but
so that means it supposedly can't hear
you. Supposedly, okay. But why am I even have that thing in my house and giving Jeff Bezos all of my information? It's like somebody said, I heard this week, that in the near future we'll be paying Amazon not to kill us. Like, because, you know, we're giving them everything about us, you know, like our privacy is dead.
Oh, too much information, yeah.
And pretty soon they'll just charge us like a living fee, or we'll just have to be taxed to live, or else they'll, like, the machines will kill us, you know. Apparently, this past week, that was a video. I don't want to play the video, but Alexa started laughing, and people got really freaked out by that. But what is artificial?
Now, was she laughing at something that was presumably funny, or just laughing randomly?
I don't know. I mean, what now? Define funny. I mean, define artificial intelligence first, then define funny, because true. I love stand-up. You might like different stand-ups than I like.
Yeah, probably different characters. Yeah, sure.
But there's dangers within however you want to define artificial intelligence. In 2014, he told the BBC that the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. He said that primitive forms of artificial intelligence developed so far had proven very useful because, I mean, he had been using them, you know, to talk. That was a very basic rudimentary form of AI. But he feared that the consequences of advanced forms of machine intelligence could match or surpass humans. Now, some of his peers, his academic peers, colleagues, as you would call them,
right,
thought the comments drew on outdated science fiction tropes. Others agreed that there were risks. They said a clever AI could create tremendous wealth for society, but could leave many people without jobs.
Well, it kind of depends upon how much trust you instill in the artificial forms of intelligence. Like, if you entrust decision-making to computer-controlled systems, that I can see that could be a problem. But it would have to be a situation where the system somehow had the capability of learning new facts from the input that it receives and then making further decisions that would actually separate it from the human host.
Well, I mean, did you hear about this? I think we talked about this on the show a while back. This was one of the creepiest things I'd heard in a long time. That said, Facebook abandoned an experiment after two artificially intelligent programs appeared to be chatting to each other in a strange language only they understood.
That's funny.
The two chatbots came to create their own changes to English that made it easier for them to work, but which remained mysterious to the humans that supposedly looked after them.
That's pretty
interesting.
So
the people who created them are like, wait, what are they doing? What is it? What is it saying? And they had created a way to talk between each other and leave the humans out of understanding what they were talking about. Now, it was a very rudimentary form of language, but they were learning. So I think about, like, when Grandpa or whatever, you know, when he was a kid in wherever he grew up in Pennsylvania,
I think, you know, probably, McKeesport.
Yeah, I mean, and then think about, you know, when he passed away, it was 7 years ago or something. He didn't have a smartphone, but, I mean, the advances from when he was a kid.
Oh, the advances have been dramatic, exponential.
I mean, even when I was in high school, we didn't have computers.
Yeah, when I went to grad school, I barely had a calculator.
I mean, we had, remember the Wang?
Yeah, we had one on display at the University of South Florida where I was attending for my master's and PhD.
No, that's not the one I was talking about.
Oh.
I was talking about, I think there was one at CCC.
Oh, okay.
There was one in the computer lab.
Was there? Okay.
And, you know, this was at the time where, you know, computers had just come out or whatever. Or, you know, we thought that it could do something cool, and they were getting rid of it or something. And the thing weighed like 900 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we took it upstairs, and it had like 3 megs or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the technological advances from, you know, the 80s even till now, huge.
Huge, yeah.
And so
huge.
The technological advances in AI could just grow. What do they call it? Like when it's exponentially.
Exponential growth, yeah.
You know, like. You know, 3 times 3 is 9. 9 times.
It's usually something to a power.
Right. And then it goes to a number that we can't even understand really quick, you know. So I think that would be the fear. And when we get back, I don't have quite enough time to play it going out of this break here. But when we come back, I have a cool little soundbite pulled up of Stephen Hawking talking about AI, also aliens, and the universe. To close out hour two, before we get to the Dark 30. Are you excited about this? Will be your first Dark 30.
Well, I listen to it at home.
You said that mom sometimes finds it a little risque.
I usually don't play it for mom.
How is she going to feel now that you're going to be involved deep in the muck of the Dark 30?
Yeah, wading through the muck and mire of Dark 30.
Yeah, you've lived a good life. You'll be. It's not that bad.
Yeah, most of the stuff you do is not that bad.
I know. I have a sensor on me. You know, I'm not just a loose cannon.
No, you're
good. Listening to Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual, talking about Stephen Hawking tonight and his passing just a few days ago. We are going to close out this hour with a little soundbite from him coming back after this break right here on News Radio 570 WWNC. Sometimes you just can't explain things in life. That's the unusual becoming usual. That is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by M&D Paranormal and HauntedAsheville.com. Log on to Haunted Asheville. Get a tour if you haven't taken a tour. Get Tad McDivitt to take you on a tour. There's like, I think there's 4 tours now. They got a new, and some of them are very good for the fam-damly. You got
are these all walking tours?
I think... you know, why'd you have to ask?
Well, I see that bus running around town.
Well, there's different ones.
Okay.
The Haunted Asheville is the original.
The original.
Yes. And, you know, let's see, it's the original and oldest ghost tour. They have several different ones. You know, some if you want to take younger kids.
They're different locations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they got the brand new mystery van tour for private groups.
Okay.
If you feel like you're
if
above.
You have a big enough group.
Or you're above everybody else.
Okay.
You know, like you're like me, maybe a misanthropic.
You don't have to mix with people.
Right. I don't like, that's why I go to Walmart at 3 in the morning.
I understand.
I don't want to have to mix with people. But yeah, they got a bunch of stuff on there. You know, what do you know about the Pink Lady at the Grove Park Inn?
I heard you talk about it, but that's about it.
What do you know about Helen's Bridge?
That I don't
have you
recall.
Ever even, you've lived here almost 30 years. Have you ever even seen Helen's Bridge?
I probably have not.
Up on Bowcatcher Mountain?
That's the one that has a tunnel through it,
right?
Right,
yeah, right, yeah. By the tunnel there.
Yeah.
Oh, you can find all these things on the Haunted Asheville Tour, so log on to hauntedasheville.com. So before we wrap up this segment and get into the dark 30 hour, not for the younger ears, I wanted to play this this little thing as we wrap up talking about Stephen Hawking. This is him talking about aliens, AI, and, oh, whoops, I just clicked off. Aliens, AI, and the universe.
While repeating the message loud and wide, we need to look after the planet. If we don't, the human race won't survive the next 1,000 years.
If we are the only intelligent beings in the galaxy, we should make sure we survive and continue. Our only chance of long-term survival is not to remain inward-looking on planet Earth, but to spread out into space. We don't appear to have been visited by aliens. I'm discounting reports of UFOs. Why would they appear only to cranks and weirdos? If there is a government conspiracy to suppress the reports, and keep for itself the scientific knowledge the aliens bring, it seems to have been a singularly ineffective policy so far.
The potential benefits of creating intelligence are huge. We cannot predict what we might achieve when our own minds are amplified by AI. Alongside the benefits, AI will also bring dangers, like powerful autonomous weapons, or new ways for the few to oppress the many. In short, the rise of powerful AI will be either the best or the worst thing ever to happen to humanity.
What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zane leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world? And I confess I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zane is still in One Direction.
That shows a little bit, not only, you know, some of the concerns of, you know, what happens when AI could take over, you know, and learn too much, if you would, and also the comic stylings
of
Stephen one,
Hawking.
Stephen Hawking, you know, who did pass away. And so, you know, as well as that can be, you know, I hope that was, you know, a somewhat interesting, you know, I'm no scholar. I liked the guy. I found him very interesting. And wanted to, you know, while it was still in the public eye, not do it, you know, like a little show about him 5, 6, 7 months from now. So, there you have it. Coming up next, the Dark 30 Hour. If you have younger ears listening to AM radio at 11 o'clock at night, they're probably fine listening to this. It's nothing too bad. But it's the sordid, you know, kind of creepier side of humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity. It's made of people. It's made of people. The Dark 30 Hour is made of people. It's coming up next on Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, so stick around. It's always a good time.